Time now to look through the window of baseball with Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle, brought to you by Marvin Windows and Doors and Truett and White, the professional builder's choice. They have their new showroom down in Monterey. Bruce, good morning. How are you today?
Morning, Marty. How are you?
Well, pretty good. You know, I woke up to the news, and this is where Twitter and everything is just amazing, of the earthquake 6.0 in Napa last night. And isn't it amazing what Twitter and all this does? I mean, you don't really need TV or radio.
Yeah, it woke me up.
Did you feel it?
Yeah. I'm not sure how long it had been going on, but after it did wake me up, it was still going on for about 15 seconds out here on the coast. But, you know, not to any really significant degree. I mean, it was obviously an earthquake, but, you know, nothing compared to what happened up in Napa. It just, you know, when something like that happens, you wonder, where's the center of this thing and what's going on? And yeah, I mean, you wake up and immediately you've got stuff coming in from everywhere,
right.
You know, really, really personal stuff, photographs, and it's remarkable, really.
Wow. I mean, you know, it brought in driving in today. I have a lot of time to think, but I started thinking back to Loma Prieta, and I was, of course, you were probably at the ballpark as well, and it sounded to me like an airplane coming over the stadium or a train coming through, and that one with so much devastation. This one, thank goodness, doesn't sound quite as bad, but in a sports world, can you imagine during a day, you know, the big, like it was in 1989, having that again? What were your recollections of that?
I was up in the upper deck visiting with some people, and I just remember you could hear it coming. You could hear it rumbling across the landscape, and when it hit, I mean, talk about rocking and rolling. I mean, everybody up there was just trying to keep their feet, just jerking back and forth, you know, of course, the initial reaction when it calmed down, everybody sort of gathered themselves and then sort of started cheering, you know, because the park hadn't come down and killed everyone in the stadium, you know. I mean, because you knew it was a massive earthquake. And then, of course, it just became worse and worse when once the news hit and set the whole – I was staying in the city at that time, and without any, you know, water or really anything, and going over to the St. Francis Hotel for Faye Vincent's candlelit press conferences, it was really a singular type of experience. And I wound up going to Arizona when Tony La Russa moved the A's back to spring training to actually get some training in Arizona, right in the middle of World Series. I went down there. I remember setting up my machine at the Pink Pony and writing a story from there.
Wow. Well, you know, it shows you how vulnerable we are, especially even in the sports world, which is, you know, minor compared to, you know, the people's homes and lives and what you just described. But, you know, luckily, you know, it didn't affect any of that. But it really, it shows how vulnerable we are living in the Bay Area. Got a tweet this morning. I'll just tell you, Bruce, sort of the message from the folks up there. Send a message to the boys that we North Bay Californians expect a win today. And cleaning up the mess. And baseball does step up in moments like this. It did in 89, too.
Yeah, I'm sure they could use get the electricity back on, watch the Giants, and bring a little happiness up there, because there really is quite a bit of damage in Napa. I didn't think it was going to be that bad anywhere, but it certainly was at the epicenter of it. And if you learn 6.1, that's very significant.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Bruce, I went through, well, let me start with Lincecum, because, you know, you probably saw it yesterday. I did as well.
Yeah.
Even listening to Dave and the guys on the rap last night, very, very strong opinions about Lincecum, and Bochy talked about it after the game. We got to huddle up and talk and all this. What's your take on this enigma, this young man, the 30-year-old, that is the rock star of the Bay Area? He just can't get out of his own way right now.
Yeah, I mean, when he said, what was his quote? My head's getting in the way.
That's
never a good sign.
No, it's not. It isn't.
Getting in the way of me, you know. I think the obvious long-term answer is that this guy is not something you're going to be able to rely on to be in your rotation long-term, no matter what his contract says. I think everybody's sort of fancying the idea of him pitching in relief now, being sort of a super, super handy man out of the bullpen, which I'm sure doesn't suit him very well, but something he could do. But, you know, you can't keep trotting him out there. He's had six starts in a row now that really haven't been very good. But the obvious solution is Petit. But here's a guy who's retired 38 guys in a row out of the bullpen. I mean, that's you'd hate to mess with that. He doesn't have a good record as a starter. I wouldn't assume anything great from him if he takes the rotation the rest of the way. So it's a real dilemma. And you know, I look across the bay to Oakland. Not only did they load up, with Samardzija and Lester, but if somebody were to go down, they go, well, we've got Pomerantz, we've got Chavez, you know, and we've got all these options. And who knows, who their best minor league guys are. I mean, they're so loaded up, we may not even see them in September. But I think the September call-ups are going to be interesting. You know, I don't know, Marty, how you feel about this, but you see calls around the big leagues to eliminate that roster expansion. I think it's essential to see who you've got in the majors. When you finally have a legitimately deep bench after going the whole season with not enough guys, and I think they should standardize it where each team has the same amount of guys on a given night, a given series. You designate, well, we're going to have 31 guys or whatever. But getting back to Lincecum, there's no answer. I mean, they want to put him in the bullpen. They don't want to mess with Petit. They figure maybe one more start. But what if he pitches a gem the next start? That could be false hope. It's just you go around and around in circles, and there's no real good answer for me.
No, at some point, I think they have to make a commitment. And to me, the commitment is he's a starter. Mm-hmm. And this time of year, you can't afford. And I said it last night. It's only the fifth day. I mean, there's four other days you've got to win. And you've got to play good baseball, so you can't get too crazy with him. But when his turn does come up, you have to have a chance to win the game. And at home, he sort of gives you a chance to win the game. On the road, he doesn't. And whether it's humidity and his shirt was wet in the first inning yesterday, I don't know what it was, but he just didn't look right. But at home, he seems to get it together. So maybe you've got to do the old Ted Lyons thing, the old Hall of Famer. He pitches every Sunday. At home. You know, they've done, it's crazy, but Whitey Ford did it for Casey Stengel. And I know it's probably impossible in today's world to do it, but you try to get the guy to pitch at home.
And yeah, let's bring up Charlie Maxwell, Sunday Charlie. Then we really have something going on Sundays.
Pawpaw, Michigan. Okay.
Yeah. But the thing about Lincecum is that he has these terrible first innings, and right away you've got a crisis, and you're thinking, well, this is not going to go well. And then the bullpen gets shot. And, a guy like Petit comes in extremely handy, and that really hurts him. I agree with you. I really think as far as the rest of this season, he has to start. You know, he's the fifth guy. The Dodgers are going through this, too. They have big problems at the bottom of their rotation. And, there's no need to really panic. I mean, they're right in it, and the Dodgers, as we've said so many times, have their problems, and it's going to be a race. So you ride it out, and you capitalize on as many home starts for him as you can.
Yeah, and in baseball, the big question is the next guy better than this guy?
Right.
And whether
it's
a pinch hitter, a relief pitcher, I don't care what it is, and I'm not sure there's a better alternative. And that's, I think, the biggest problem. As you point out, I think it's an organizational problem that they don't have anybody to step in. And I think that's one of the key things that this is showing us. Hey, Bruce, batting averages, I said this in the National League, the top 10 goes from 314 to 300. Are we heading back to 1968 again here?
It's like 68. Yeah.
Are they going to have to lower the mound to a flat mound? I mean, this is really. There's 10 people in the National League hitting 300 or more.
Yeah, that's pretty shocking. I think the trend towards shifts has become really radical in a hurry. And I mean, it went from a few teams are shifting here and there to now it's just so prevalent. I mean, you see guys every at bat. There's a different alignment out there. You got shortstops at second base and everything else. And I think that's messed with a lot of guys' heads. And the better guys are adjusting and they're going the other way and dropping bunts and stuff. But there's a lot of stubbornness trying to work their way out of it, against the odds. And, strikeouts are up. Everything's pointing toward the pitchers. And, I think it all goes in cycles, Marty. I mean, when they lowered the mound in 68, I guess that was a necessary move. But, I don't think we're looking at this is going to be the next 30 years in baseball because it just doesn't work that way. Sometimes you don't know exactly why. In 1930, I think the entire National League hit 300.
It's true.
I'm serious.
No, it's true. The Phillies did as a team.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, of course, the league.
Check the batting average for the entire league.
Yes, that's right.
In 1930.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's funny. Like Sandy Alderson was saying, you know, the games are taking longer and nobody's scoring, which is a bad combination. You'd think that at least that would mean that the scoring is up and the games are wild and they're taking forever to play. And so there's a few things that that aren't right. They'll probably figure out a way to speed up the game. But in terms of the hitting, that's going to be interesting to see what happens, because there's no doubt there. I don't think there's a shortage of you know, really good hitters around. They're there. They're just they're being stifled.
Yeah, I think within the next 10 years, the pitching mound will be below ground.
Yeah, it'll be submerged.
Yeah.
You have to be at least 6'10" to get
this. Oh boy! All right, it's Sunday morning. Hey Bruce, I appreciate it. Vogelsong at Strasburg today. Maybe the right guy for the Giants. The toughest guy they got. Maybe it's Vogelsong.
He's tough. I mean, he's not the kind of guy that's going to give up, you know, three in the first inning and throw 48 pitches. You know, most of the time, he'll give you a good battle. Strasburg's been great his last two starts. He's just great, period. And that team's got something going, so it's pretty tough task. But that's definitely between, you know, Vogie and Baumgartner, one of those guys you want out there at a time like this.
Absolutely. All right, have a good Sunday. Everything good with you? What's up today?
That's good. Yeah, there's an awful lot going on. The 49ers are on, the Giants, the A's, the Little League World Series. My family's been following that real close. So, and Premier League Soccer. So, once again, another day of heavy exercise around the refrigerator.
Very good. You're my hero. You know that. Thanks, Bruce. I appreciate it.
All right, Marty. Thank you, man.
Have a good afternoon. All right. That is Bruce Jenkins.